because it's special and it's worth it. What does your salvation mean to you? I came across this little outline, and so I copied it down. And when we're thinking about our salvation, it's easy to categorize these four points right here. What I was before I was saved. What God promised me before I was saved. What I did to get saved. And what God did to make that happen. So I printed this little deal up, and I invite you to take a pen or a pencil to fill in the blanks. This is a very simple deal. I invite you, I'll read the verse first, and Valerie will probably have it up on the screen here. And we're going to start with what I was, what we were before we were saved. And the first verse that I'll read is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, you can turn to that verse, or you can just listen to me read it, or look it up at the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, Valerie. And the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." I was spiritually dead in trespasses and sin before I was saved. Hey, listen, the best-intentioned lost person cannot satisfy the demands of a just God. I have an uncle who passed away, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago. And to our knowledge, as a family, he never got saved. But you couldn't have found a better man than him, with being a citizen, a law-abiding citizen, a man who helps people. Now, that whether he's saved or not, that's between God and him. But we don't know as a family if he was. But before we're saved, we're spiritually dead. We cannot satisfy the demands of a righteous God without salvation in our life. What's Romans 3:23 say? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For letter B, we're going to go to John 3:18. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Before I was saved, I was not only dead in trespasses and sin, but I was condemned already. I was condemned already. Now, what changed that? It's having the simple faith to ask, to receive. As our text said, the simple faith to ask the Lord to save you. So I was dead in trespasses and sin, and I was condemned already. And letter C, I had the wrath of God abiding on me. Because I was condemned in letter B, I had God's wrath staring down my face. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's what we were looking at before we were a child of God. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were condemned already, and we had God's wrath staring in our face. And then in letter D, we're going to take Romans 6:17 and use that verse. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." I was a servant of sin. I couldn't do anything else but sin. I had no Holy Spirit in me. I had no power from God to do anything else but sin. But you know what I really love about that verse there, Romans 6:17, is that word, "were." Look up at it. "But God be thanked that ye were." That's past tense. If you're a child of God, you no longer have to listen to the master of sin. Now, do we listen to it sometime? Yes, we do. because we got these bodies and we got this messed up brain, and things go awry sometimes, don't they? Well, sure they do. But we're not under the control of sin any longer. So I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was condemned. I had the wrath of God abiding on me. I was a servant of sin. And letter E we take from Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I was headed for the lake of fire. I was headed for a lake of fire. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was condemned. I had the wrath of God. I was a servant of God. I was a servant of sin and headed to a very bad place. And then the last one we take from Luke 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I was lost. Yet I was sought by Jesus. Isn't that a great thought? He looked for us. He sought us. So that's what our condition was before we were a child of God. And because of that, that condition that you and I had, we had John chapter 1. The Son of God, who thought it not robbery to share in the equal of glory with His Father in heaven, looked down upon us, Brother Ray, and He saw who we were. He saw us for who we were. And He began to intervene on our behalf. What God promised me, Romans 6:23, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." A gift of eternal life is what He promised to me. Now, a lot of people make promises they have no intention of fulfilling, right? Well, sure, we've been the recipients of promises that are never going to, things that are never going to happen. But that won't happen with our Lord. He's given us the gift of eternal life. Something else that He has promised us is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." The forgiveness of sin is what He has promised us. Now, we found out before that we were a servant of sin, but now we have forgiveness for that sin. Something else that He's promised us is salvation, and that's found in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." He's promised us salvation if we accept Him, if we call upon His name. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." You know, I've come to expect you to do that. I just love that, by the way. When I say verses, Linda, I can see her over here mouthing them with me. And it encourages me, so don't stop. He's given us His salvation through His grace. And because of that, oh, you know what I like about that verse, Titus 2:11? What do the last three words say? To all men. Hath appeared to all men. Now, will all men get saved? Well, no. But He made it possible for all men to be saved. Another thing that He promised is found at letter D. From Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, and we'll stop there for time's sake, He dwells in our heart. He promised to be in our heart, to dwell in our heart. Another verse we could look at there is John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." What a wonderful thing for a new child of God, for the Spirit of God, for the presence of God to dwell with that person. don't have to be servants of sin anymore because we've got the power of God's Spirit residing within us. Another thing that he's promised us is the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, what is love that passeth knowledge? That sounds like some pretty deep love, doesn't it? So God has promised us the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and he's also promised us the joy of Jesus Christ. John 15, verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Full and permanent. That's pretty important, to have a joy that sticks around, doesn't it? Because we can be joyful for earthly reasons, for temporary reasons, and that goes away. But as a child of God, we can have the joy of Christ because God promised that to us. Letter G is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So first of all, we had a love that passeth all knowledge. Now we have a peace that passeth all understanding. These are the things that God promised to us because of what we were, and now we see what we did to become a child of God. The first verse we'll look at is, I'm sure most of you can say it with me, Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I called upon the name of the Lord. I called upon his name. Another one is found in Romans 10, verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's pretty easy, isn't it? Calling is pretty easy. There's not much effort there. Believing in thy heart is letter B. I believed in my heart. I called upon his name, and then I believed in my heart. Another thing that we did before we were saved, and what we did to get saved, was to receive him. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." When you're out sharing the gospel with your neighbor or your sister or your brother or a stranger at the grocery store, these are pretty easy steps, aren't they? There's not a lot of complication here. There's not a lot of difficulty in calling upon the name of the Lord and receiving the gift of salvation. Anybody can do that. We take letter D from Acts 17, verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." I repented of my sin. Now, I gave a few definitions at the end of the handout. Look at the first one, repentance. "I repented of my sins," that's repentance. So repentance is a change of attitude resulting in a change of action about sin. Now, there's more definitions you could give, but that's a good one. That's a good way to think about repentance. And when we got saved, we repented of our sin. Now, that's what we did. We did those things right there. We called upon the name of the Lord. We believed in his name. We received him, and we repented of our sins. What did God do? Well, Romans chapter 3, verse 24 tells us what God did, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." He justified me freely. Now, that's a big word. Go to the end of your handout there. Justification. It says to be declared as not guilty, just if I'd never sinned. That's what he did. When I called upon his name, he justified me. He justified you. God not only justified me freely, but he washed me from my sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He justified us. He washed us from our sins. And then we go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, and we see that he put our name somewhere. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. When we got saved, God secured our name in the Lamb's book of life. What a great place for our name to be. Not only did he put our name in the book of life, but he adopted us as a son. Now, many of you guys have a lot of grandkids. I only have one for the moment. But we love our grandkids, but it's even better to love somebody, love a kid, and adopt them and make them yours. I mean, there's a natural love I have for my granddaughter. It's just there, part of the family. But to have a love to take a stranger into your house, and we've known quite a few families here to do that over the years. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Aren't you glad our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ adopted us and made us a child of God, made us his? That's what he did. He justified us. He washed us. He put our name in the book of life. He adopted us as a son or a child of God. And then we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." He accepted us. He accepted us in his son's name. That's the beloved. He accepted us in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I like to be accepted, don't you? It's no fun being rejected. And let me tell you, when we got saved, God accepted us in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. He also sanctified us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." He sanctified me. That's what he did. Now that definition is at the end of your handout too. To be set apart by God and for God. See, when he washed us and when he justified us and when he adopted us, he sanctified us. He made us his. And we will not be in the center of his will until we are working for him. And until we are given to him our talents and our skills and our time, our heart, our minds, because he accepted us and he sanctified us. He set us apart for his use. And then the last one is, he made me a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." He made us a new creature. He justified us, he washed us, he secured our name in the Lamb's book of life, he adopted us as a son of God or as a child of God, he accepted us in his son's name, he sanctified us, and he made us a new creature. Man, that's a lot of benefits, wasn't it? Simplicity. What a great story to tell. What a great way to share the gospel with somebody. and just tell and just start telling them what you were before you were saved. And how God, who shared the glories of his Father in heaven, looked down upon us and saw what a mess we were in. And he decided to do something about it and send his son down here to take care of the problem. And all we had to do, what we did, was call upon him, accept his son, Jesus Christ. And then he finished it out by doing all these things under what God did. He gives us the strength to become a child of God. He gives us the right to be a child of God. He gives us the power to be a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Aren't you glad we're not on our own? Man, I'd be in a mess of hurt. I'd be in trouble. But he gives us the power. He gives us his spirit, and we don't have to do it all on our own. Would you pray with me?